Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
This is the Michael K. Show.
On paper, certainly looks like it's going to be a good Super Bowl. Don and Peter, it's chest to chest. Take the shirts off and go.
Do I have to take my shirt off?
Well, after the diet. Have you guys dug in on your pick? Because you both shouted out different teams.
Yes.
About a week ago. Are you both on that same thought?
When I shouted that out, it was kind of what my gut was saying.
Right.
Now I'm doing the work to see if it matches my gut. And
that's a lot
we'll
of work.
See how it goes.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Well, wait a minute.
I'm saying you're doing a lot of work.
That's not what you were saying at all. You're saying I've got a big gut.
No, I'm not.
On 98.7 ESPN.
So sensitive. That's what Don is. I make a simple comment and he takes a negative to it. It's amazing. This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by PC Richard & Son. Get ready for the big game with a new TV from PC Richard & Son. Buy today and PC Richard & Son will deliver your new TV tomorrow for free. Big game savings only at PC Richard & Son. Well, it's Wednesday, and if you don't hear them every day on the great morning show that we have here on 98.7.
What are you doing?
Golic and Wingle, what are you doing? They're on from 6 to 10. They're brilliant. The stuff they do, it's groundbreaking. It's earth-shattering. You should listen every single day. And if you don't, that's on you. That's a bad on you. That's a you problem, not a them problem.
Wow.
And he joins us every Wednesday at this time, one half of the group. I guess it's one third now. Trey Wingle.
Trey Wingo, the best phoner we have on the show. There he is.
Hey, Trey.
Always be on the Michael Clay Show. How are you guys? Wonderful. Now, did I just hear you when I was coming back that you saying Don is so sensitive? Is
yeah.
that what I heard you
yeah.
say?
Yeah, very much so.
Now, let's go back a week in time, shall we? Weren't you the one that was very upset and very sensitive about something that didn't seem like it was that big of a deal?
Oh, they just disagreed with me.
And
yeah, but you were
took it very badly.
Well, listen.
Correct.
I don't deny that my skin is so thin it's translucent. I have no problem admitting that.
You can see Michael's organs. And I wasn't being sensitive. I was just trying to point out that he was making fun of my girth. And he wouldn't even admit it because he's weak.
I am weak.
Well, you guys were separated at girth, so let's just leave it at that.
Before we get into the nuts and bolts of the Super Bowl, there's something that you tweeted today that really disturbs me. So it seems like every day you have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh, it's a Super Bowl tradition. Yes.
Oh, okay.
I try to exist solely on peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and from the ESPN office. It's sort of a challenge.
Do you know that's all Mike, when the Yankees played in Japan, Mike Mussina never left his hotel room and he brought peanut butter and jelly from the States, and that's what he ate every single meal.
Me and Moose, we've been together for a long time. It's fantastic.
But my problem with your tweet, okay, peanut butter and jelly on toast?
Oh, yeah.
Are you, an aristocrat?
Oh, yeah. Don's with me. There we go.
You don't call it toast?
Absolutely
on
you do. First of all, it's the only way to do it if you've got, like, Wonder Bread, because it's easier to spread the peanut butter.
Great point.
You can't do it on just regular.
I did it for my entire childhood.
And
Gentile problem.
It probably was not spread equally or thick. Now you can get more peanut butter, and I just think if you can eat it right out of the toaster, it's spectacular.
I want to explain something to the Jewish listeners real quick.
What's that?
Wonder Bread is a kind of bread that Gentiles like. It's very soft and white, though, and it's tasty though. It's really quite good with milk. It's like a dessert.
You're almost describing me.
Challah, for sure.
It's not challah. No, it doesn't have the toughness.
That's challah.
Well, yeah. Michael.
Okay.
You're so cultured.
Not challah.
So why toast, Trey? Why toast?
Why you holler at your boy? I don't understand. Listen, I just love when it's a little toasty and hot and all the nooks and crannies get filled with a little melted peanut butter.
I'm getting hungry.
That's pure delish.
I'll even toast rye bread and have that with my peanut butter and jelly.
Why not?
Why not? There's so many reasons why not. Why don't you have it on an English muffin then? Really?
That's perfect.
Since you're so fond of nooks and crannies.
No nooks and no English muffins in the office. The artist can only work with the medium that he has.
I got to tell you though, it's a great idea you just came up with there—the English muffin PB&J.
Fantastic.
Throw a little fluff in there; it's great.
All right, so I think
next week this segment will be brought to us by Thomas English Muffin.
I would love that,
or Skippy.
Even better.
Why do you think I can't figure it out. Why do you think that Tom Brady is even considering leaving New England? Do they not want him? Does he hate Belichick? Why?
Well, there certainly is some I don't want to say hatred, but I share, like, remember 2 years ago when Jim Gray asked Tom if he thinks he's been treated with respect, and he sort of laughed out loud and said, no comment. So there is something there. But I also think that Tom Brady wants to be courted. I mean, he's never been in this situation ever. And, you know, if you go back to his days at Michigan, he wasn't an all-star, you know, blue-chip recruit like Peyton Manning or others. I mean, he basically had to beg Michigan to take him. And then he had to fight off Drew Henson when he was there as a freshman. He's like, wait a minute, I've been here. I've won. So I think there's always been this chip on his shoulder, and I think he wants to go through the process and wants to feel the love. And I do think there's a very good possibility he won't be back.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, and I'm not arguing with your point, but my goodness, how sensitive must he be? He's considered the greatest quarterback of all time. He has 6 Super Bowl rings. What more adulations do you want?
It's a great point, but I also would say whatever you feel like you need to motivate you, use it. And he has worn that thing on his shoulder like it was a boulder for a lot of years.
So where does he go, San Diego?
Well, if they had a team, yes. But I think he goes to the Los Angeles.
Wow. Right after the host, too. He didn't do that to me or Peter.
Wow. Hey now. I don't know if I'm going to talk the rest of the... No,
that is terrific.
Please, continue without me.
You're done with them?
No, I'm done with that. That's just a jackwagon thing to do. Wow. I'll never forgive you.
Oh, we're just having a little fun, Mr. You know, cellophane skin. Yeah. We're all good.
Mr. Exposed Nerve.
Let's turn that frown upside down.
All right. Is he going to go play with Don Coryell?
Yeah.
Yes. And you know what? Kellen Winslow Sr. will be a tremendous outlet for him.
Nice.
He's got big hands, no... Louis Kelcher on the defensive line.
There's no Chuck Muncy in New England.
Oh, very nice.
Or LaDainian Tomlinson.
Is Lance Allworth going to catch passes for him in the window?
Wow. Bambi.
Wow.
Love it.
Think it's going to be the Chargers or not?
Well, yes. I would think, listen, there are a lot of people speculating that Tennessee was a good fit, but I don't see the Brady brand in TV12 in Nashville, with all due respect. I think if he wants to go somewhere, it's going to be somewhere that's not only what he thinks is good for his career, but good for his promotion. And to me, there are two places that come to mind, either the Los Angeles Chargers or the Las Vegas Raiders.
Wow. You think the Las Vegas is a possibility?
I do.
That would be very interesting. Now, Trey, I have a more important question. It's pressing.
Sopranos rewatch?
Yeah, let's go season 6 for a second. No. Although I do have a strong take about the finale, but it's okay. We'll save that for another time. I don't want Michael to get agitated.
They live.
They lived. There was no death, Trey. Yeah,
cool.
I believe they lived.
I think we died.
I think blood was splattered against the wall of that. No, Don really believes that we died.
It doesn't make sense what he thinks.
I believe we got whacked.
It doesn't make sense, though, Don.
Okay.
We were never characters throughout the show. How would we die?
Because it's over for us. It goes black. That's what happens when you die.
How do you know?
So I'm told.
Who told you?
I love it.
Don's very...
I'm sorry. It's a theory, Michael. It's better than complaining.
Now, Trey, what's your actual game plan? Are you going to the game?
I will be doing stuff pregame, and then I've got a Paul Butt back to be in the studio on Monday morning. So no, I will not be at the game.
So will you be able to watch the game?
Oh yeah, all set up there. That's all taken care of. That's one thing I would not miss.
So wait, how are you going to be watching?
I'm going to land right. I get to leave here at 4:00. I'm going to land about 6:30, and the game kicks off at 6:30. So I'll be fine.
Wow, okay, nice. What a professional
star.
All right. Well, on to the news of the week. Obviously, we've spent a ton of time talking every which way about the tragedy and about Kobe as a player. Yeah. But on a personal level, first of all, Trey, do you have any Kobe stories? And also, just take us through the challenge, you know, of kind of covering it this week. Obviously, it's been a challenge for all of us.
It really has. And look, I only met Kobe once or twice, so I don't have wonderful stories like that. I just appreciated the way he went around his business on the court. But, you know, it's interesting. If you live long enough, unfortunately, we're going to go through this, right? If you can recount some of the horrible sports deaths that have happened too early, whether it's Thurman Munson or Len Bias, Dale Earnhardt. But what made this one so much more horrific is that there were 3 13-year-old girls that lost their lives on that helicopter that never really had a chance to live at all. And now the real awkward part about this, guys, is now going to be the NTSB investigation and what happens, and will they find something? Because when something like this happens, we want to know why, right? We always want to figure out, okay, this is awful, but how did it happen so I can say, oh, I understand now, And if that hadn't happened, this wouldn't happen. And, you know, one of the reports we had from one of the people there was talking about how thick that fog was when they took off on Sunday morning. They said, imagine if you were going to fill a pool with milk and then open your eyes and try and see. That's how thick the fog was. And, you know, there's going to be questions, I think, about whether or not that helicopter should have even gotten off the ground. And that's going to lead to a bunch of other stuff. But, you know, it's just, it was such a sucker punch. I mean, I'm sure we all felt the same way. As soon as I saw it appearing up on my Twitter line, I'm like, get out of here. That's not true.
You had the instant denial also. Everyone did.
I was like, please let this not be true. You know what I mean? I was like, I don't want to know this. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to have to go through this. I just didn't want it to be so. And then I get kind of text messages. What are you hearing? What are this? I'm like, the one thing, this, like, Rick Fox was rumored to have been on the helicopter, right? And Rick Fox put out there, hey, I wasn't on the helicopter. So the longer it went that we didn't hear anybody from, you know, Kobe or his camp saying it wasn't him, I just got this sickening feeling. And then you start wondering, okay, well, where would he have been going on a Sunday morning? And please, God, don't tell me that somebody else from his family or other family members and other children. And then it just got worse by the moment. And it was just like, please, make some of this not be true, because it's just a lot to take.
And also, I it's a more broad sense, I think it's really a knock against our industry now. And there were so many false things put out there, that all four of his daughters were on the helicopter. Rick Fox, I mean, right. At times like this, Trey, I mean, we've got to step away from, we've got to be first. In the age of Twitter, you could be first and a second later somebody else could have it. It just doesn't matter anymore. Especially in something like this.
Why would you want to be first with something like this? Wouldn't you rather just make it 100% correct? I mean, you really want to swing and miss on something like this? I couldn't agree with you more, Michael. It's like, what is the great rush and what is going to be a devastating thing that affected basically five families, that it is so important for you to maybe not have a butt down that you just want to attach your name to it first? That I don't understand at all.
Is there a possibility here from the Bryants or the city of Los Angeles for a lawsuit against TMZ? Because the fact that it's now said that Vanessa Bryant learned about this from TMZ, it does border on criminal.
That's a First Amendment thing that we could get into, and I don't think there will be. To me, Peter, the more interesting lawsuit will be what happens if they find that there was fault in the preparation for the helicopter, or whether or not it should have gone off. Remember, the LAPD decided to ground all their aircraft Sunday morning because they didn't feel like it was safe to fly. So there was a lot of concern about people who do this for a living, that maybe we shouldn't have anything in the air. And then where they find the fault, and then what are family members going to say who are missing loved ones now because of whatever fault they find? I mean, that to me is the more, I don't want to say interesting, but I think that's the more likely scenario that might play out in terms of legal action.
The other thing we debated is, how does the league honor him? I think changing the logo is too much. I think naming the All-Star MVP doesn't seem enough. I kind of fall on being completely comfortable retiring number 24. Dallas already has said they're not going to have anybody wear the number 24. Many players have come forward and switched either 8 or 24 from their jerseys. Where do you fall on that?
Yeah, you know, I'm for something to just recognize, and we sort of bandied this about the other day. Actually, it was a listener who tweeted in, and I thought it was great. Like, Mamba mentality meant doing everything you could to be the best you could be, right? And he once said, you know, I think I heard him when it was an interview with Michael Wilbon, I think, where he said, look, I know I have talent, but I don't want to just get in the league on talent. I want to keep working hard and improve that talent every day. And I don't know if there's even a most improved player in the NBA. To me, that would certainly be someone that would be that award that would be fitting of what Kobe was all about, just striving to be the best you could possibly be. And I thought that one was interesting.
All right, so you're in Miami now. There's a big game on Sunday. Sir. Who do you like in this game, Trey?
The mental gymnastics going on in my head about this game are absolutely ridiculous, because there are so many like stats that you can point to. Well, this happens or this happens. Give you an example, right? It's the first time we've had a Super Bowl where both teams have scored over 29 points combined per game average in the regular and postseason. The Chiefs have the fastest three clocked wide receivers all year in the NFL. The 49ers have the fastest three running backs clocked in the NFL all year. The Chiefs average 5.9 yards after catch,
yeah,
or yak yards, best in the NFL. The Niners average 3.2 yards on the ground per rush before contact, best in the NFL. This is, I mean, this in terms of speed, not in terms of how fast the game is played, but how much speed is actually on the field, this might be the stopwatch Super Bowl, just watching players zoom up and down the field. I'm beginning to sort of lean toward San Francisco, but every time I'm like, well, what about this? What about that? You know, and the one thing I can't get around is, like, right now I know that in Kyle Shanahan's offense, everybody has a job and they do their job perfectly and they're all tied together. But what happens if the machine breaks down? Because we all know what happens if the machine breaks down on the other side. Pat Mahomes is going to go out there and do Pat Mahomes things. So, like, there are a couple of plays he's made this postseason. Well, clearly everybody was covered, and you can't make that throw, and you can't make that run. And he did, and it worked out. And if the machine breaks down for San Francisco, and I don't know if Kansas City's defense can force it to, that's the thing I'm most curious about. Off script, off the plan, off kilter, when must have got to make a play, are they going to be able to do it the way I know Kansas City can?
Do you, I mean, if you see Patrick Mahomes in Miami, do you lose your breath? I mean, do you have a hard time gathering yourself?
I lose my breath every time I watch the kid play. I feel like it's a Jackson Pollock painting. Or a Picasso. It may not look right, but when you put it together, you know it's a piece of art. I mean, look, I really believe he's going to go down as the best to ever do it, barring, you know, longevity issues and injuries and all that kind of stuff. But I do think we're talking about that kind of player. And again, the more you talk to other quarterbacks who say, he can't do that. You can't make that throw. You can't. I mean, that's the thing that I keep going back to. It's not just me. It's people that played the position are like, I never even would have thought to do that.
This is the one. There's two things that bother me here. Number one, I've already pointed this out. Max Kellerman, who I consider a friend and I care for him, has stolen your gimmick of also calling him the greatest of all time. And both of you are driving me a little nuts about it. And I, from a talent standpoint, I see it. It's just the biggest asterisk of you have to show us so much more. I mean, two years ago, I thought Carson Wentz was on his way to being that guy.
Peter, I completely agree with you. I'm not saying he is. I think he's going to be.
But that's still so much can happen.
But I did say based on longevity and obviously devastating injury, which is obviously the greatest unknown. But I do believe the skill set with which he has been given, and quite frankly, the coach he's working with, because that matters so much. I mean, Andy Reid, for all the things that he hasn't done, which is essentially win a Super Bowl, he's done everything else, is a quarterback whisperer. I mean, he went to the perfect guy, and they drafted the perfect weapons around him. I mean, Mecole Hardman, you know, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins as your third best wide receiver, Travis Kelce.
It's ridiculous.
Really no running game, you know? I mean, it's just, and then you put that together with his natural skill set, it's fun to watch, man. I mean, like, one team is determined not to throw, and the other team is determined, hey, man, do what you got to do, 15, take us home.
Is there anything sadder than watching this Super Bowl in the Alex Smith household this weekend? I mean, the guy played pretty well for San Francisco, even better in Kansas City, and now he spends his life sitting next to Dan Snyder in a suite eating oatmeal raisin cookies. It is a really depressing situation.
You're right. I mean, like, he got them on the cusp, you know, and did the thing, and then Kaepernick came in and they pushed him out, and then, you know, he had literally his best year of his career in 2017. He threw for over 4,300 yards, 26 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and they said, you know, we appreciate it. And he knew it right away, by the way. If you listen to him when they went through OTAs and mini camps before the 2017 season, he saw it right away from Mahomes. Like, they did like their first joint practice with veteran rookie OTAs, and he was like, you know, you draft a guy that high in the draft, you know your time is coming. Like, he saw it right away.
Yeah.
He knew, dude, I'm out of here. This guy, I can't do the things that this guy can do. So you're right. It is going to be, and, you know, Alex is not a bad quarterback. He's just not that guy.
All right, now, before we let you go, I'm curious. You're at South Beach. Do you do, I mean, are you out all night? Do you do the bottle service?
Oh,
is that what you do?
Oh, yeah, he's at Live. You're at the clubs, right?
No.
Do you make it rain?
The alarm goes off very early. I've I go out to dinner with the Super Bowl week is like a reunion for people you haven't seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like this morning, I ran into Schlereth in Salisbury, and Golic and I all took our picture together. It was like, hey, NFL Live from 2005. Cool. You know, and that's the fun part about it. But no, I will. There's one little soiree tonight I'm going to just to say hi for a second, then I'm out because.
Whose party's tonight? Oh, Jay Glazer?
No, it's Jeff Darlington, our NFL reporter.
He's going down to Darlington
and
County.
Michael Silver. Yeah, literally. Thank you. Good pull.
Thank you.
I'm just going to see some friends, and that's it.
But if you stayed up and did the bottle service, you roll right into the show. You don't
Great
even
point.
Have to go to bed.
Yes, and then I'd be like the gum on the bottom of a shoe. That would not be good for anybody.
No, there's someone you get help with to make the night work out for you.
You familiar with the work of David Blow?
I don't think Trey knows that.
I think I'm going to need more context.
Well, I mispronounced. So what did he end up going with? Blau?
I was making a silly
Lions
cocaine reference, but David Blau.
What did he end up going with? No, his name. That's what he went with.
I'm sorry. I still really don't know the guy exists so in that game again in Thanksgiving. That's all.
But so you have to understand.
Oh, the quarterback at Purdue.
Yes. So, Trey, David Blau, we were sitting here. Yeah. We were setting up. We're doing our picks. And Don, who's about to make his pick, which, by the way, another part of the story you have to remember. Don, you got the pick just completely dead wrong. And he comes
out. No, I didn't. I had the Bears.
It wasn't the Bears. Detroit won. Detroit crushed. Detroit. Didn't Detroit win on Thanksgiving?
No.
Blau played well, but the Bears came back to win.
Yeah.
And the Bears covered.
I did. It covered.
Okay. So that part of the story is not true. But he was getting ready for his pick, and in trying to solidify why, of course, he was betting against Detroit. He confidently said,
"You familiar with the work of David Blow?"
And a man
I
was
asked
born.
The question. The person who was the least familiar with his work was me.
Yes, that appears to be the case.
Well, when you're in Darlington County, tell everybody we said hello.
Absolutely, I will. It is always a pleasure to talk to you guys, and we'll find out next week who I'll be. We'll be talking about as the next great Super Bowl champion.
And by the way, a couple of the guys are coming over to my house to watch the game. If you land in town, you're more than welcome to come by.
Sure. Just give me your address right now so everybody knows.
People know. People know where I live.
Well, by the way,
it's 1-800 Richie Richville.
I think we should do. I think we really should do this.
Yeah, but where's he? If he's landing in Hartford, he'd never make it in time.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get there. I'll find a way. We'll use a monorail.
All right, cool.
All right, beautiful. I have a monorail right to my front door.
Love it.
Yep. Take it easy, Trey. Enjoy yourself.
Bye, Trey. Okay.
We'll see you. Take care.
All right, Bob Nightingale of USA Today reporting that the Astros and Dusty Baker have reached agreement on a short-term deal to become their new manager.
Short-term?
I don't know why that was accentuated. I guess because he's 70, and the thought is that they're not going to be good after this year. Knicks fans, keep listening for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Knicks take on the Orlando Magic on Thursday, February 6th at 7:30. Brought to you by the New York Knicks. Visit nyknicks.com for tickets today. Another loss for the Knicks last night, and the magic of Mike Miller is wearing off. We'll talk about that just a little bit, and where are they going with this? It's just brutal. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.